The scripture reading today is the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verses 23 through 27. Hear the word of the Lord. Jesus answered, "Those who love me will keep my word, and my Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words. And the word that you hear is not mine, but is from the Father who sent me. I have said these things to you while I am still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our second scripture reading comes from the book of Galatians, chapter 5, verses 19 through 23. Hear the word of the Lord. Now the works of the flesh are obvious: fornication, impurity, licentiousness, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, anger, quarrels, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these. I am warning you, as I warned you before, those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. By contrast, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Gracious God, we have come to seek your peace at the end of a long day, in the midst of a frenetic city, in the midst of a contentious culture. You have something different to give us than what the world gives. So come, Holy Spirit, settle our souls in the saving power of Jesus Christ, and illumine our minds by this encounter with your word. Take the offering of even these fallible words and make the message your own. In Jesus' name, amen. Peace and patience. Upon hearing that I was scheduled to preach on this particular fruit of the Spirit, the general reaction from my dear friends and family has been outright laughter. If there were Academy Awards for church leaders, I probably would not be nominated for the most Zen-like peaceful presence or best spiritual performance in the patience category. I don't even have the patience to watch the actual movies in the actual Academy Awards. Authenticity is important to effective preaching, and I have about as much authenticity as a master of peace and patience as I do as a master of low-calorie macrobiotic dieting or wilderness camping. Nor would most people think of Washington in general as a paragon of peace and patience in our world. So this is a case of preacher, heal thyself and heal thy community. We know that we are supposed to be Christ-like in these ways. So I and many of us invest a fair bit of energy attempting to cultivate these virtues. By attempting to control everything from our time to our emotions better, we strive to achieve a peaceful state of calm at work and a patient, non-anxious presence with our families. The problem is that it doesn't last. When too many things slip outside the margins of our control, we often lose our grasp on cultivated virtue. And then one of two things happens. We are very, very hard on ourselves for failing to meet the high standards of conduct that we've set, or we decide that it's all impossible and we give up. Preacher, heal thyself and heal thy community by looking at the problem in a different light. Peace and patience aren't simply virtues. They are fruit of the Spirit. We are not absolved of responsibility to be Christ-like in exhibiting love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. We are freed from the need to search endlessly and fruitlessly within ourselves and within systems of rules for the ability to be Christ-like. This gets at the larger issue of whether Christianity is a self-improvement program based on a system of virtues, or whether it's a relationship with God. A relationship with a very particular God who finds us distinctly lacking in virtue, but provides a Savior to redeem us anyway and a Spirit to transform us. Christians have been struggling with how to live since they first gathered in the first churches. The Apostle Paul wrote this letter called Galatians to churches that he himself founded. Jewish Christian teachers were leading the community after Paul moved on, and some of them began to urge their pagan converts to be circumcised and to follow other elements and rituals of Jewish law and Jewish tradition. But Paul insists that righteousness isn't based on following the rules, in this case, Jewish law. Yet he's also clear that it's not okay to give up, give in, and go the way of the world. This letter is about answering the question, if we're not going to be legalists, and we're not going to be hedonists, who are we? I'm grateful to say that for Paul and for us, in between legalism and licentiousness stands love. In the Gospel of John, Jesus says, "Those who love me will keep my word, and my Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them." Other places in Scripture talk about the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. The fruit of the Spirit in everyday human life is born of that closeness. When we are close to Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit, and when we're allowing God's Spirit to work in and through us, amazing transformation happens. It can happen to individuals, and it can happen to communities. All those high standards that Jesus gave us, all those things in the Sermon on the Mount, and in Jesus' other teaching, they become possible. We set ourselves up for failure all the time. But God doesn't set us up to fail. He sets us up to succeed in the Christian life by giving us the amazing gift of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit dwelling in us produces the love that fuels the growth of every other fruit of the Spirit. On our own, we might try really hard to emulate Jesus. But with the Holy Spirit, we emanate Jesus. That is the fruit of the Spirit at its best. So with that understanding of the relationship that is the source of peace and patience, we can have a much better discussion about peace and patience. We're beyond discussing peace and patience simply as virtues. But we're not yet beyond our own failings to be peaceful and patient. This is by no means an excuse for our failings, but we do need to look carefully for a moment at what the Bible means by peace and patience. It is both more reassuring and more challenging that neither word necessarily means calm. Peace, which is shalom in Hebrew and irene in Greek, is a broad and rich concept in the Bible. It has to do with total well-being, the whole person being at peace. It also includes the dimensions of being at peace with other people and being at peace with God. We know we can't do all that on our own. Jesus makes that kind of peace possible, and then it comes outwardly when our minds are set on the Spirit. The word that Paul uses for patience, makrothumai, is a narrower concept, but it can actually be translated by several different words, including long-suffering and forbearance. Now, I don't think that God wants his people to be silently patient with injustice or long-suffering in the face of abuse. But we could all probably stand to be more patient with 1,000 inconveniences of everyday life. We sometimes experience these inconveniences as trauma or oppression, when in fact they're normal red lights or trainees at Starbucks. Forbearance, at the very least, is holding back from taking it out on someone else when we feel impatient. And that doesn't sound so hard to do unless you've ever been married. In which case, you know for certain that you need help from the Holy Spirit to forbear from misplacing your stress on the wrong person at the wrong time in the wrong way. But ultimately, I think our failure to acknowledge the presence of the Holy Spirit in us is a big part of our failures to exhibit the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. If we see God only as the distant recipient of our hastily uttered prayers for help, we may miss that the source of help is much closer than we thought. We may forget that in John 14:18, just before the part that McLean read, Jesus said, "I will not leave you alone. I am coming to you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me." When we are aware that the Holy Spirit is present, our self-centeredness fades just a little bit, and we start to remember that other people matter just as much as we do. Forgetting that other people matter just as much as we do is a big part of impatience and hostility. Isn't it funny that many of us, even though we're Protestant, would be aware of the presence of a Roman Catholic priest in a room, and maybe even modulate our behavior a little bit accordingly? But we forget that the Holy Spirit is present in us all the time. Now, to be clear, the Holy Spirit present in us is not a vague, random, we're all a little bit divine sort of thing. We're not divine at all, ever. The Spirit of Jesus Christ is divine, and therefore can be present anywhere his followers are present. Nor is Jesus a vague and random sort of God. He is the one who fully experienced human sorrow, died for us, and rose from the dead to make our resurrection possible. When we are aware that we're carrying that kind of love around with us, it makes burdens easier to bear, and it might even make us more at peace and more patient. So far, Jesus hasn't made me into a person who never taps her foot while waiting in line, never honks her horn 3 milliseconds after the light turns green, and never yells at her husband. So far in the Christian life, I haven't banished all anxiety, worry, or disagreement with other people. But I can say with confidence to myself and to you that Jesus has given us the means of peace and patience, his grace and his Holy Spirit. They are far more present and accessible than we realize. The Holy Spirit is not just there for you, it's there in you. This Lent, my prayer is that you would become more aware of the presence of the Holy Spirit, so that you will not just emulate Jesus, but emanate Jesus in all of your life, showing the world the fruit of the Spirit that it is so hungry for. Amen.